The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. It is a Tuesday, and we welcome you to the broadcast. This hour, I'm going to impart a lot of different news items to you, as well as some audio clips. My hope is that we'll take some phone calls as well. The number to call into the program, 888-528-2557. In radio, you never know who listens day to day, and I just want to briefly mention, if you did not hear the broadcast yesterday, I announced that this is my last week. I am off the air as of this Friday, and I'll share more as the week progresses. I believe God is calling me to a new season. I thank management for being so gracious and accommodating and allowing me to do this program remaining through the end of the week. One of the suggestions was, why don't you have guests on? You know, talking about the last 8.5 years. And I listened to that. Thank you. Very kind. But this program has never been about me. This is about Jesus Christ. And so this week, I will be sharing scripture. We're going to do an altar call toward the latter part of the week. We'll talk more about that. But I want to start the program today in prayer. I know last year, many of you would tune in at 3 o'clock. I did a daily prayer just about all the insanity of what's going on in the world then. And if we think the world has gotten any saner in the last year or so, I would say from my own position, I'd say, not so much. So let me begin. Father, we come to you on this day that you've made for us. And we never know what is to come. We don't even know if there's going to be a tomorrow. I am clear enough to understand there may be someone listening right now that somehow the news of me no longer being on the air is pretty shocking. Lord, we give you that. We honor you. We glorify you. And we give this to you right now. We dedicate this program. We dedicate our lives, those of us that are followers of Christ, once again. We submit to you, and we say, use us for your glory. Give us the courage, give us the fortitude, give us the discernment to understand what is your will and what is our will. And Lord, I just pray blessing over everyone listening, that when they walk away from the program today, it will be unmistakable and undeniable. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. That this is not just some talk show where the host gets calls and he pontificates his view. Lord, this is about you. Jesus, you are King and you are our Lord. You are the only answer in this life. And I ask that you forgive me of my sins and wash me clean by your blood so that I may speak clearly your truth, your power for your glory. I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. When I first became a follower of Christ, I think part of my resistance over the years was what little witness I saw. I would see people, you know, meet them few and far between. They would make mention that they were Christian, and yet maybe something gets lost in the translation. But I would see their life kind of being emulated as you got to strive to be perfect and, you know, no do-overs. In my own cynicism, interpreted that as kind of a phoniness. And that was one of the many reasons why I thought, no thanks, not interested, not buying that one. And then I get radically saved. Early on in my walk with Christ, one of the things I noticed, other than a lot changed instantly, it's as if my soul was recalibrated quickly. Maybe it's because I was 54. I don't know. Some people said, well, you're a baby Christian. I don't know what that means. That's a foreign language to me. Jesus then and is my all now. He's the only answer. The format of this program is to talk about issues in the news, in part from a Christian perspective. I've tried to do that to the best of my ability. But when all is said and done by the end of the week, I hope you understand, this program is about Jesus Christ. There's a legacy that's been built on this program from my two predecessors here on KKLA, Warren Duffy and Frank Pastore. These are men that love the Lord. And I just want to do everything I can by His power to articulate the need for you to get right with God, and if you don't know Jesus, the need for you to really consider accepting Him as your Lord and Savior. Your life will never be the same. You know, one of the things that I learned early on in this walk, I used to think Christians were just kind of boring and didn't have a lot of fun. Maybe that was the model I received growing up in Catholicism. I don't think that's fair. There are people that still this day are in the Catholic Church, love the Lord, saved, and all of that. I'm not saying anything other than maybe the traditional aspect of Catholicism at a young age just rubbed me the wrong way. But here's the point of my story. Early on, I found myself being too intense, having no fun, not laughing much. Even people I met, it's like they were really locked on, and I think it's admirable to be locked on, focused in your season of what Christ is doing in your life right now, and work hard. Spiritual attack is real. Satan is the father of lies. I flippantly dismissed him in my days of not being a follower of Christ because the world's really good at telling you, oh, no. No, 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 Satan, oh, you weak Christians. When I've come to the realization that it's undeniable that once he starts whispering to you, if you don't submit yourself to God and resist him a lot, then you're setting up for big trouble. Satan is a liar, but if you don't believe he's real, the world doesn't really necessarily believe evil is real. It's just good people maybe doing some bad things. We're all God's children. We're all going to heaven. I mean, these are some of the deeper theological questions that many people struggle with. If God's a good God, how and why does he allow evil? We can even talk about that in the last few days of the program. But here's my point. As a follower of Christ, not only do we have fun in this life and have some laughs, we understand what it is to truly be free. And I experienced little glimpses of freedom by society standards, and I'm not lying. Sin can be fun sometimes, and you think, wow, this is everything in a bag of chips, but it's really far from that. And to be free in Christ, where you understand your salvation is assured, where you understand the purpose of your life. I was a New Age teacher for 21 years. I had a Frank Sontag lecture series. Bunches of people bought it. Celebrities, rock stars bought my lecture series. Like somehow I had the answers for their life. And here's the truth that I've come to know with a capital T. There's only one answer in this life, and his name is Jesus. And you can have a relationship with him right now. He's alive, just as you and I are alive. Now, he may not be physically manifest. You may not be able to see him and touch him. But he's as real right now as he was 2,000 years ago and forever will be. We believe in God's word and the Holy Bible. And Jesus is coming back. I've said scores of times on this program, he's not coming back to give out group hugs. He will right all wrongs. And so the real question is, in the interim, how do we live our lives? How do we address the craziness in the world? Do we even embrace conflict? One of my greatest areas of concern, and I think the greatest crisis in this country, is the lack of men being men. Now, hear me out. I've got a wonderful listener. I'm not going to name her by name. She has some issues with men, and I think some of her issues are absolutely valid. But it's not like all men, it's a patriarchal society, and we're all out to just do nothing but dominate the world in a very excessive and inappropriate way. That's not biblical masculinity. That's sin, and we've all got it. But for me, the greatest crisis is men not being men the way God has made them. One example is a man of God knows that he is here to fight evil, to confront wrong, whatever that may be. And yet we live in a time where, I mean, the whole gender question, just in the short time I've done this program, has had its head turned upside down. There's no more just male and female. There's, well, infinite. Right? This is the world my son is being raised in. This is the world your daughter is being raised in. You ask some young people, they're being taught about gender. There's no male and female.
What's up, guys? This is Will Witt with PragerU. Today we're at UC Berkeley, and we are asking students, how many genders are there? Let's do it. How many genders are there?
Infinite.
Infinite?
I think there are infinite genders.
Yeah. Why do you say that?
Because I think, I don't know, you can't put things in boundaries. You can define yourself as whatever you want, and I don't have a number for it, so it's infinite for me. Yeah.
What do you identify as?
I identify as female.
I identify as male. How many genders are there?
God, I don't know. Like, I identify as a guy, but if someone's going to be happier not following that binary thing, do you?
How many genders are there?
There's a spectrum of genders, you can't really say.
Like an unlimited amount, you would say?
Yeah. There are like 5, 6 maybe.
6? What are those 6?
It's like male, female, transgender, asexual. Then, yeah, I'm not like familiar with the names, but I'm like pretty sure I'll seen like videos and everything on like different genders, like here.
So for me, gender is like a construct, because gender isn't something that's made up. So sex is something that's biologically given to us. So I don't really know, to be honest.
What do you identify with?
Male.
Male.
Me too. How many genders are there?
Oh, girl.
It's like 72 plus or something.
I could not tell you.
You couldn't tell me?
I could not tell you.
How many can you name?
Not all 72.
Spitfire a few.
There's, what is it, third gender, cisgender, agender, cis woman, cis man, non-binary slash other? I don't know. No, that's sexuality. That's not gender.
That's not the way they taught it to us. That's sexuality. That's not gender. You know, if I get out God's word, many of you know it and read it and integrate it into your life, and there's some out there that just say, oh, God's word, the Bible, oh, that's a big part of the problem, or that's man's interpretation of God's word, or that's a myth, or a whole lot of other things. Believe me, I spouted that. I had a public forum, I did a talk show, I used to rip the Bible. Never opened one, but I had all of the lingo down. The Bible says God created male and female. Now, either that's true, and God did that, or somehow we've got this figured out, and we keep making up more rules. The importance of male and female. We live at a time when society is changing more along the lines of humanism or secularism. And there is a strong tinge of idolatry in what we are witnessing right now in the ever-changing culture. Let me read a commentary from Jim Dennison, Denison Forum on Truth and Culture called The Rise of Secular Idolatry. Now, Jim oftentimes mixes in current events and issues. This was written a few days ago. It's actually written last Wednesday. So when we talk about some of the news stories, they're a little outdated, but stay with it. It's a powerful piece. By the way, the phone lines are open. 888-528-2557. If you want to call in and share anything, if you want to just make comments about my announcement, we'll take your calls this week. 888-528-2557. Denison writes, the American League defeated the National League in last night's, which again, last week, Major League All-Star Game. Pope Francis was seen leaving the hospital this morning, again last week, 10 days after undergoing colon surgery. And Democrats unveiled late last Tuesday night a $3.5 trillion spending plan for policies that would not be included in a possible bipartisan infrastructure deal. Denison writes, normally I'd write on each or all of these stories. I don't often discuss Texas politics since this article is intended for readers around the world, but it's not often that Texas politics makes news around the world. The New York Times headline, quote, Texas Democrats flee state to highlight GOP voting restrictions, end quote. Every other American news outlet I checked is reporting on the story as well. Even the BBC, UK's Guardian. By the way, the update is some of those that left Texas, and I've not really reported or made a big deal about it because I think the whole COVID phenomena is so overblown. I'll talk more about that probably tomorrow. But I see news stories. 5, 6 Democrats have tested positive that left. Okay. Is that really the story of stories? I don't think so. Denison talks about the story of stories. At issue is legislation that affects the way Texans will be able to vote in upcoming elections. To keep Republicans from passing this legislation, Democratic lawmakers left Texas for D.C., denying Republicans the necessary quorum. These Democrats say they are, quote, advocating for the rights of Texans for their right to vote, end quote. Republicans counter that the legislation is simply designed to prevent voter fraud and note that the Democrats' walkout puts at risk other legislation, such as pension checks for retired teachers and the paychecks of legislative staff. Denison writes, here's my guess. You'll probably side with the side you already sided with before the controversy began. If you sympathize with Democrats, you'll likely see them as fighting for their constituents. If you sympathize with Republicans, you'll likely see them as abandoning their jobs and thus their constituents. Denison writes, here's another guess. Like most Americans, you probably feel stronger about your partisan views than you did even a few years ago. Here's one reason political passions in America have become much more intense. Our religious passions have become much less so. Consequently, the former are replacing the latter. Well, what does he mean? I'll read on. The Atlantic recently reported, quote, as Christianity's hold in particular has weakened, ideological intensity and fragmentation have risen. American faith, it turns out, is as fervent as ever. It's just that what was once religious belief has now been channeled into political belief, end quote. Historian Neil Ferguson agrees, quote, we are dealing not just with the decay of traditional religion, but far worse, the rise of new fake religions, political religions, end quote. Denison writes, I disagree that the rise of new fake religions is far worse than the decay of traditional, but I understand his point. Ferguson continues, quote, one thing that's very clear from the 20th century is that when people take their religious feelings and they apply them to political ideologies, terrible things can happen, end quote. He references as examples the Nazis, who thought of Hitler as the redeemer of the German nation, and those today who treat scientists as if they are infallible. On this day in 1789, this was last Wednesday, French revolutionaries stormed the Bastille. The ensuing French Revolution tried to excise all vestiges of religion from French society. In October 1793, all public worship was forbidden. Church bells were pulled down and melted, and crosses and relics were seized and sometimes destroyed. In their place rose the cult of reason, which recognized no god but worshiped the goddess of reason in former churches now known as temples of reason. Denison writes, are we witnessing a similar movement today? In an important article I hope you'll read, Denison writes, cultural commentator Andrew Sullivan warns of the rise of what Wesley Yang calls the successor ideology. Sullivan notes that this ideology argues, for example, that, quote, the only and exclusive reason for racial inequality is white supremacy, end quote. Culture, economics, poverty, criminality, family structure, all are irrelevant unless seen as mere emanations of white control, he writes. But critical race theory is just one dimension of this movement. In a larger sense, quote, this ideology wishes first and foremost to repeal and succeed a liberal society and democracy. Sullivan continues, in the successor ideology, there is no escape, no refuge from the ongoing nightmare of oppression and violence. And you're either fighting this and on the right side of history, or you're against it and abetting evil. There is no neutrality, no space for skepticism, no room for debate, end quote. There is a successor ideology in that it intends to succeed what came before, including religious worldviews in general, and Christianity in particular. It advocates view biblical morality as oppressive, discriminatory, and dangerous. In their view, their advocates, not advocates, advocates in their view believes and institutions do not align with their ideology that they must be replaced and removed. So-called Equality Act is just one example and symptom of this rising tide of secularism. Its advocates, ironically, embrace its tenets with a zeal akin to religious fervor. As Ferguson warned, we're witnessing the rise of a secular religion. Finally, Denison writes, in Jeremiah 2, the Lord grieves. My people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Verse 13. What happens to those who reject the one true God for false gods of their own making? The Lord asks in verse 18, what do you gain by going to Egypt to drink the waters of the Nile? Or what do you gain by going to Assyria to drink the waters of the Euphrates? Verse 19, then he answers his own question. Your evil will chastise you, and your apostasy will reprove you. No one see that it is evil and bitter for you to forsake the Lord your God. End quote. He says, for today all of us who are children of God should join our Father in grieving the secular idolatry that is consuming our culture. We should pray fervently for a movement of Christians who will use their influence to stand publicly, courageously, and winsomely for biblical truth and morality. And we should ask God's Spirit to spark a great spiritual and moral awakening in America before it's too late. Leonard Ravenhill once said, as long as we are content to live without revival, we will. 888-528-2557. We've got four open lines. I'm not saying this to be, you know, self-aggrandizing. My last day is Friday. I just want to make it known to you, if you don't know, because people don't listen to every single minute of every single program. And if you want to share about that or anything else, 888-528-2557 are always the phone numbers to call into this. This is the Frank Sontag Show. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. One last follow-up to the previous segment, then we're going to take some calls that are kind of wide and varied. I read Jim Dennison's commentary on secular idolatry and just the ever-changing culture we live. There's a woman I've never heard of. Her name is Ruth Edmonds. She lives in Ohio. She's never run for political office. And a number of nights ago, Tucker Carlson featured her and what she is attempting to do in a small district in Ohio. I want you to listen to this woman.
So there's an opening in the Ohio congressional delegation, 15th congressional district, and a lot of people running the Republican primary, 11. The primary is on August 3rd of this year. The winner will then compete in a special election in November to replace former Congressman Steve Stivers. Now, one candidate in the race came to our attention. Her name is Ruth Edmonds. She's the former president of the Columbus NAACP. She's also an ordained minister. One of the things she's running on is we need to stop racism in our schools of all kinds. Here's how she put it.
I'm a patriot. I love the United States. We're not perfect, never have been, but we are the greatest nation on the face of the earth. It's time to stop judging every white person as a villain and every brown person as a victim. We are one country, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I'm Ruth Edmonds, and I approve this message.
Ruth Edmonds joins us tonight. Ruth Edmonds, thanks so much for coming on. That was a great ad. I don't think I've heard it put as clearly as you put it. Why did you say that? Why did you make that ad?
Well, thank you, first of all, for having me on tonight. I said it because it's the truth. Caucasians are not villains, and they're not oppressors, and brown-skinned people are not victims, and we're not oppressed.
But you can't say that. You can't say that. Whoa.
Oh, yes, I can say that. I'm from the inner city of Baltimore, Maryland, raised by my grandmother, who only had a fourth grade education. And yet she taught me the principles and values and ethics of hard work and perseverance and, you know, faith in God. And taking advantage of opportunities when they come and not allowing barriers to be excuses. So, yes, I can say that brown-skinned people are not victims because we're not.
Right. Well, that's right. And it sounds to me like your religious faith informs your view of that.
Absolutely. I make no excuses for having a biblical worldview. And I absolutely believe that this country was founded on a biblical worldview, you know, endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. Among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Absolutely. And I think that it is terrible how, there's an evil attack by the left to tear up who our country, what our country is and how we were founded. And we have to stand up and speak out against it at every opportunity that we can. We have to defend this great nation.
I say amen to Ruth Edmonds. In fact, let me take a call here. Kevin called in before I played that. Kevin, it just says you're calling from California. What city are you calling from, Kevin?
Pasadena right now.
Appreciate your call. Thank you for doing that.
So what is the best way for a Christian to influence government, or is it even a good idea for a Christian to try? Is it a misplacing of energy?
You're asking my view. I think it's a no-brainer. As we just heard with Ruth Edmonds, I think it's important that we as Christians run for local city council or run for whatever aspect of government that we may believe we're called to do. Waste of energy? I don't know how we can determine that. If one runs a great race and doesn't win, is that a waste of energy? I don't think so. But I think that
well,
is...
Well, what I meant by that,
go ahead,
Frank, was are there better pursuits? In other words, the religion you're talking about, which I think accurately, which is this new religion, government, it seems like the way that religion can come in, though, what I'm seeing, is it's through Christianity that religion is taking form. In other words, right now, when we have our brothers and sisters of church they're talking about guns. You know, they want to have guns, and we want to have our rights to this and our rights to that. They've mixed, let's, for example, having guns. They've mixed a constitutional right, and they're acting like it's a biblical right. So it's like that. The Bible doesn't give you to keep and bear arms. That's the Constitution of the United States. So it seems like maybe this bad religion is coming in because Christians are actually converting to it.
Yeah,
you
see
what I mean?
Like, yeah, I do. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Continue.
We're the ones taking these stands, which I don't. I love all of those stands, but it's like I don't see that biblical example of Christ and the apostles, disciples. In a very bad government, the Roman government, I don't see the push to change the Roman government, be it through whatever means you might. I see rather the push to be just to get people into the kingdom.
Okay.
So that's what I'm saying. Maybe we're missing where we should be fervently working.
Well, I appreciate your call. I thank you for it. I disagree with most of what you said, but you stated it so clearly and respectfully, so I'll just be brief. I don't believe any of that's true. I think if you listen to the media, you'll start believing such things, like somehow the whole January 6th insurrectionists, that somehow Christians in part were responsible. I would agree with one point. I think ultimately we need to have a biblical worldview. But is there this false religion that Christians are pushing forth and getting mixed up into politics? I think there is confusion in the church. But I think for the most, the Western church is impotent right now. We've lost our way, maybe because we never were fully biblically literate. I don't know. But politics, I think... Again, with respect, I would say my view is counter to yours. I think part of the problem is we're not biblically savvy in the church when it comes to politics. We think we're not supposed to be involved in politics at all. And I'd like to know who you're hanging out with or who you know that somehow is all up in arms for Second Amendment. I know that's popular to say in the mainstream, but I've met very few Christians that are adamant about reestablishing and sustaining the liberties that have been given to us for 200 and some odd years in this country. Thank you for your good call. I appreciate it. Let's talk to Jerry in Montebello, kind of what we were alluding to earlier. Jerry, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Yes, Frank. Hey, Frank, it's great. I'm glad I reconnected with your show last year, and I'm so proud of you and your ministry and your men's groups. I just want to say that up front. Congratulations. Lord bless you continually.
Thank you.
When you're talking about the gender identity, I'm doing this biblical Hebrew class, and when you get into language, they are now going to have to change all the conjugations of verbs,
right,
the use of nouns,
right,
from masculine and feminine to identity to these infinite numbers, and you're just going to have to change thousands of years of language when it comes to male and female within all the languages, hundreds of languages spoken throughout all the world. So that was it. Lord bless you with your KMG. And I worry about the deceived, self-professing Christians. And I'll be with you till you're in here, my friend.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you, Jerry. And I hope you do sign up to be on my mailing list. We'll apprise you of developments after Friday. By the way, one of the main questions that were asked of me, are you going to be on the radio anymore? As of now, no. But one of the things I'm strongly considering is doing a podcast, a daily podcast. Is that literally the radio? No, but it's similar. And the only way you'll find out is if you're on my mailing list of what we're doing. And there's been some confusion about that. Let me try to clarify that. Just go to franksontag.com. We've changed a little of the wording on the site. There was a drop-down tab that said subscribe to the mailing list. People thought subscribe meant pay. No, it's free. But I think we've changed the wording to be on the mailing list. So just go to franksontag.com. Do not send me an email at either KKLA or KPraise in our email system and say, I want to be on the mailing list. You will not get on that way, and those emails will be suspended shortly. So go to franksontag.com. 888-528-2557. Let me make mention of this quickly. We'll break and come back with more. We'll kind of shift gears. We'll take some calls. I played the Ruth Edmonds clip, and you may have heard about the latest with, I'll say, my dear friend Larry Elder. Now, this is a guy that takes care of business before he makes any kind of a move. And the latest is they've kind of declared him not on the September 14th ballot because something about he didn't submit certain tax information. And Larry says clearly, that's nonsense. I can dig the article and the 200 pages that he submitted and everything was taken care of. Here's my take. And I'll find out more in the next few days if there is an update. I think they went to court yesterday. Two things. Again, Larry's the kind of guy that everything was addressed, looked into. He thinks way in the future. No way he would have declared his candidacy and left his radio program if all this wasn't taken care of. Number two, to me, this is a sign that the left is threatened by this man. That Gavin Newsom and his cronies are doing everything they can to undermine maybe the one candidate who could have, if we have a legitimate election, can draw more votes. First, we have September 14th to say we want Governor Newsom recall. That has to happen first and foremost. So, Larry Elder for governor. Yep, I'm all down with that. 888-528-2557. More of this, the Frank Sontag Show next. Mike Cordova and Gold Financial Group, you know who they are. You should. They are experts to inform you about the realities of investing in gold or silver. Some say that have been in the biz and tracked this stuff, they say gold is extremely undervalued. If you look at the history, it's gradually gone way up, but they're still saying it's got a lot to go. This may be an excellent time to invest in gold. Silver tends to be much more reasonable, but the whole bottom line is if you are even remotely thinking about investing in something, why not gold or silver? Why not make the call to Mike Cordova and his group? They'll answer any questions that you may have. They're as honest as they come. No hidden agenda, no hard sales pitch. They're just there to help you invest in gold or silver. Here's their number, 800-214-9023. 800-214-9023. They have a free gold financial guide that you can just ask for simply by asking. Call them. Gold Financial Group, 800-214-9023. If you make that call, I promise you, you'll be glad you did. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. I want to take a few calls here in the allotted time we have. If you have not heard, this is my last week. Friday is my last program. I am being called. I believe Lord's calling me to a new season, and I'm inviting you to get on my mailing list so that way you can stay apprised of what is to come. Easy way to do that is just go to franksontag.com. Vanessa in Hacienda Heights, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Frank, hello. It's so nice to speak with you. How are you today?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm blessed. Thank you. I'm just calling today. I heard the last segment or the one before that you were leaving, and you just mentioned it now. I was not aware, and I wanted to take the time and opportunity to call you, as I've wanted to so many times before, and let you know what a blessing that you've been to all of us. We are so grateful for you and how the Lord has used you. This afternoon, I was driving my son, teen son, and his friend from church to the mall, and I was sharing your testimony, and then you started to share it. And I was so blessed that they heard it from your mouth. And I just want you to know that wherever God leads you, if it's that podcast, consider me a subscriber. And I just thank God for you. I am from Hacienda Heights, born and raised. I'm currently in La Puebla. Call. Please keep them in prayer, both those towns. A lot of gang violence. And we just declare salvation. And deliverance for this place. And I just thank God for you, Frank. And I want to say hi to my family who's listening, Sunshine, Sarah, Jonathan, Joshua, and Jacob.
Vanessa, thank you. Thank you for being a faithful servant. Thank you for being a good mom. And I look forward to keeping you up to date on what's going on. Part of what I'm going to do is I'll probably do KMG full-time for a few months. There's some other things I'll maybe share later in the week, but podcasts have been talked about. I've never done my ministry full-time, and we'll see if that's the Lord's will and not just my will. Oh, let's talk to Jimmy in North Hills. You're on the Frank Sontag Show. Jimmy, are you there? Okay. If you're not there, when I go to you, I'm going to move on. David in Pasadena, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Yes, good afternoon, Frank.
Hi, David.
Hi. I don't want to say necessarily a gut punch last week when you said you were going to make an announcement, on Monday, and it was like, oh, wow, oh, my gosh. But just, real briefly, testimonial, I want to, thank you so much, man. You meant so much, on a lot of afternoons. My dad passed a couple years ago, and I was in my room feeling isolated, and it was just like, wow, man, just, the things you said just, resonated in just your voice. I can, hear my dad, and just the impact you have for young men in all of Southern California and with the King of Men's, ministry. I haven't had the opportunity to attend that, but for those men, it does make an impact and is, I feel for the ladies out there that, it's a big responsibility for guys to take that role. And I just want to thank you so much. And, it was a shock and I'm kind of shaking because, for any of your listeners, it's change is inevitable. But as you said, whenever that last day is going to come, Friday is going to be the last day, but at least getting in early now to, thank you so much. And I know it's going to be an emotional week for you, but you're going to be all right, brother. And, just wish you the best with your ministry and where God's going to lead you and just the impact you're having, brother. As you said, you're not a pastor, but you do the best you can. And just like any Christian, we're doing the best we can. And it's not an easy walk. And, we're constantly under attack from the enemy and from the outside, forces too.
David, thank you for the kind words. Sorry about the loss of your dad. Also, I would invite you to get involved with KMG. I'm doing a leadership class every Thursday night online. There's lots of ways that we can help disciple you. It's not just an event ministry. We're an outcome ministry as well. We've got some things going on. We have a man camp coming up the end of October. And I do hope I meet you one day. And thank you for your kind words, David. I'll say it again. I get it. You may have listened to the program for a little while or a long time, and I won't be here. But look, this has never been about me. And I want to be very careful here. This is stepping on sacred ground, but I think I'm accurate and correct. Our brother who did this program before me, Frank Pastore, went home to the Lord before he did a sign-off. But I think I know and knew Frank well enough that this was all about Jesus. This was all about pointing you to the cross of Christ. And if we can do that for a day or for 10 years or whatever it is, this is it. It's learning and understanding what God says is forever. And radio is kind of a one way of obviously hearing and being informed about things, but it's not the only way. Frank's ministry lives on in truth in so many ways. His incredible wife, Gina, does a program Saturday nights on KKLA with Real Radio with David. And his book, Shattered. His audio, I don't know exactly, but I'm sure that much is archived. I was driving around a couple Saturdays ago, and they did a program, and there was Frank on the air. So this has a way of moving forward. But I want to be really clear. I'm, in a sense, not going anywhere. I'm just recommitting all my energies to serving the Lord with everything I have. And I believe from my heart, and it's always been that way, that the greatest need is for men to step forward as men. If you don't look at society now and think we're in a heck of a mess, I think it's because of men. And I'm not here to say, so therefore the answer is women. No, the answer is women, has always been women. And the answer is men stepping forward as men of God. We're going to do everything we can to show men who they are in Christ. And we are self-funded by kind people like you. We need your prayers. So go to our website, get on my mailing list, pray for us, and engage in the battle. I mean, maybe for those of you listening on KKL, I'll share the story on the other side. But I really believe we're in a battle. I think it's undeniable. Oh, my goodness. No such thing as male and female? And I'm not picking on the whole gender issue. There's obviously other issues as well where society is shifting. But so much is anti-God. If you don't think evil is manifesting now without even hiding, I don't know if we have anything more to discuss. This is the Frank Sontag Show. Let me tell you again about Gold Financial Group. Mike Cordova founded this a few years ago because he saw the need. And just the idea of investing, maybe even in coins, right? I often tell the story growing up, my grandfather gave us some silver dollars, my sister and I. And I remember the day I cashed them in. I was still young. I couldn't believe. I think I got like 20 bucks for $1. And I'm thinking, this is pretty cool. Gold and silver tend to increase in value. Gold, I think, in the last year is up about 20%. And so why not invest a little or why not invest a lot in gold or silver? Call Gold Financial Group. They're good people. They'll steer you in the right direction. And they'll honestly tell you if you're a good candidate. 800-214-9023. 800-214-9023. 800-214-9023, Gold Financial Group. If you make that call, I promise you, you'll be glad you did.